The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, October the 2nd, 2015. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and I'm delighted to be joined by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you?
Yes, I'm very good, although slightly freaked out by the fact you just said it was October. It hadn't really crossed my mind that we were actually getting that close to Christmas now.
I know. Have you got your pumpkin ready for Halloween already?
I can't say I have, no, but I'm sure my daughter, who started nursery recently, she'll come back with various Halloween artifacts the closer we get to it.
Excellent. Well, I hope you enjoyed your week off from me. I hope you enjoyed recording with Johnny last week. I gave him a one-and-done deal. I've promptly sacked him. He's gone. No, he's away last week, but yeah, not nice for a different voice for a change. But
yeah, it was a pleasure. Although I seem to think he managed to do pretty well in the prediction league this weekend. So
yeah, let's not talk about that. That's why I've not had him on the main show either this week. Just need to let him calm down. Also, the fact he was the most vocal backer of Nick Blackman in the pre-season means he's pretty unbearable because he's getting everything right at the moment. So I'm getting him to pick my lottery numbers anyway. But he's also got that cheeky 50 quid. You put on to Reading to win the league at 40s.
I've got money on them to win the league, and I think I didn't get 40s. I think I got 20s.
Yeah.
Or something. It was deadline day. In the morning of deadline day, when I first got a sniff that Vidra was a possibility, I went and put money on them to win the league and get promoted via top six. So
excellent.
I'm sort of covered.
Do you want to declare how much you stand to win? Should that?
I can't actually remember. I think it's probably a couple hundred quid if they won the league, and obviously less than that if they got top six. But no,
I jumped on the bandwagon after Ipswich, and I think I chucked down a cheeky tenner, but I think it was only about 12s at that point. I wish I'd waited till we got beat by Derby. But anyway, that is enough gamble aware for us. The reason we're being so bullish and already counting our winnings is because Reading went up to one of the toughest places to go in the Championship, as the cliche goes, "Oh, can you go and do it on Burnley?" And Reading did go and do it at Burnley. They won 2-1 at Turf Moor, got into a good 2-0 lead early, and then clung on. Wasn't always the most comfortable game, Charles, but was this Reading's most impressive result of the season, if not performance?
Oh, definitely. It has to be. I think going there and even getting a draw, I'd have thought would have been a good result up at Turf Moor, and to go and win well. But, I mean, they did have to hold on in the last half an hour. Obviously, Burnley threw quite a lot at them, but... You know, I thought Reading won it relatively comfortably, and it was a fantastic result. A real statement that, you know, they mean business here, and no matter who they're playing and where they're playing, they can go to the very top sides in this league and win. So, yeah, fantastic result, and like I said, a real statement.
For me, the most impressive thing about it was to go there and get that result without key players, without the likes of Anton Ferdinand, without Orlando Sarr, without Vidra. They still went up there, and I said they beat a team that I think had lost, I think, six Championship games out of about 55, and had won four out of the last five. To go there and do that in such convincing fashion, you salivate at the possibilities when everyone is fit and everyone has played together for a longer period of time.
Yeah, no, it was very impressive. I thought when the team was announced, say, an hour before kickoff, and you saw there was no Vidra, no Quinn, everyone started to panic. It was just quite funny looking at social media, and all the optimism of the morning and leading up to 2 o'clock suddenly disappeared, and it was suddenly turned to a lot of negative tweets. Oh no, this is, you know, we're gonna lose now. But Reading just brushed it off. They just went up there, just flew out the traps, just as they did at Bristol City actually, and 2-0 up inside 10 minutes. I don't think any of us could have envisaged it was going to be a start like that, and it just shows the strength and depth Clark has at his disposal now. I mean, even without those players, he was still bringing on the likes of Orlando Sarr in the second half. Who changed it?
Ola John,
the game.
Even.
Ola John, not sorry, Orlando Sarr. Ola John, who really...
We'd be in trouble if he brought on Orlando Sarr.
those points would have seen disappear. And he changed the game for me. And not just him, Tish Bowler as well came on 20 minutes ago and really shored things up, which helped. But I thought the game was certainly swaying towards Burnley in that last half hour. It was attack after attack. Reading was sitting deep. But Ola John came on and he gave Reading an outlet suddenly. And he helped take the game back away from Burnley, and suddenly Reading actually looked in the last 15 minutes. I thought they looked like they were going to get a third goal because on the break they looked dangerous. And that was all down to the changes that Clark was able to make. And again, that's just a real example of the strength of depth that he has available to him now.
Absolutely. Well, I did a first ever Reading power rankings up on thetarlhurstend.com this week, where I sort of tried to look at, if I was building a Reading team from scratch, who would I want in my, who would be my first 10 picks? I put Nick Blackman at the top. Obviously, he grabs another goal at Turf Moor. Is he Reading's most valuable player at the moment? I can't believe I'm saying this, but is Nick Blackman that number one man?
I think he has to be, just given his goals that he scored this season. I mean, he's got 8 goals. He's got 7 in his last 7. He's not just scoring goals, he's creating goals. And he's just looking a threat every time he gets the ball. He's direct. He's confident, which is a big thing. I think his goal at Burnley showed that. I mean, it was a great finish, that. It wasn't easy. And he just drilled it without barely thinking about it across, heated into the far corner. It was a goal of someone who's just brimming with confidence. And I think right now you have to say he is the most important player. His goals are winning games for Reading, and he's scoring them on a regular basis. Well, you know, like I said, he's scoring a goal every game for the last 7 games now. So he's hugely impressive. I mean, it's a massive transformation. I don't think any of us would have predicted it. Certainly not this season, from last season. He did, though, start pre-season well, and he's just carried that form in. I mean, he's got 8 goals now, but if you count the goals he's got in pre-season, he's well into double figures already. I mean, it's just been a fantastic transformation. And Steve Clarke's got to take real credit, because he sat down with Blackman at the end of last season, and he had a real, just like you did with Norwood, actually, and we're seeing the benefits of Norwood now as well this season. He seems transformed from the player that ended last season struggling. And both of those players sat down with Steve Clarke. They had a real heart-to-heart during the summer. And it's obviously paid off for them, because they're looking excellent.
Yeah, both those in my top 5. And as I said, you can read that on tarsen.com, as well as a little bit of me admitting I need to eat a little bit of humble pie over Nick Blackman. So never let it be said that I won't admit that I'm wrong, along with 56% of Reading fans who voted in our poll that Nick Blackman had no future at Reading in the summer. So not just me tucking in this week, but anyway, you can check that out on the website. Just before we come on to the news ahead of the Middlesbrough game on Saturday, we talk about a man who's bang on form and can do no wrong. I'd hesitate to say not quite this level of form, but last year there was a man doing pretty similar in Simon Cox, who seemed to be scoring goals for fun and getting Reading key wins. Fast forward 12 months, and it really doesn't look like Simon Cox has much of a future at Reading. Has Steve Clarke had anything to say on his future?
Yeah, we spoke about it. It was probably going back a couple of weeks now. I spoke about it with him, and I thought it was quite interesting from Clarke. He basically hinted that the future, you know, Cox's future is up to him. He said that he's very happy to have him as a squad player, and that Cox is working well in training, so he's quite happy with him. And unless Simon comes up to him and says, you know, what's going on, I want to start playing football, then Clark's happy to have him in his squad. But he did say that if Simon did come and have that conversation, then he was open to discussing it and seeing if there was something he could do. So I think it's fairly telling that to me. It was almost a case of, look, you know, he's in my squad, but if he wants to go, he can go. And I think that says it all about the sort of future Simon Cox has in his club. Now he's out of contract at the end of this season. It's fair to say that it would be a stunning development if he were to sign a new one. I don't think anyone expects that. Simon Cox is, you know, he's not a 21-year-old anymore. He wants to go and play football. And I'm sure if someone came knocking on Steve Clarke's door, and possibly if it was a club or if it was Simon himself, and said, look, can I go out on loan, or can we have Simon on loan? I'm pretty sure that Steve Clarke would be willing to let him go.
Yeah, real shame. He is one of our own, and he does give everything, but he just doesn't seem to fit in Steve Clarke teams. Exactly the same happened to him at West Brom, so we'll have to see how that one pans out. But let's move on then. Middlesbrough visit the Madejski Stadium tomorrow. Massive game. It is third against second. I don't think we would have been predicting those positions in the league. Well, maybe Middlesbrough's, but not Reading's, a few weeks ago. Biggest game of the season for you so far, Charles?
I mean, in terms of league positions, yeah, I think you've got to say it's a proper top-of-the-table clash, just as last weekend's one kind of was. But this is second v third. It's obviously two very informed teams. You've got Reading, who've won 4 and 5 in the league. You've got Middlesbrough, who've won 7 in a row in all competitions. So, yeah, it's a massive game, and it should be an exciting one. I mean, I think Middlesbrough, if you finish above Middlesbrough this season, you win the title. I think they're certainly going to be going up automatically, and they should be, for the money that they've invested over the last couple of years, especially in the summer. And it's going to be a really, really tough one for Reading. It's going to be last week was a real test, and this one's going to be an even bigger test, even though it's at the Madstad. So I can't wait for it, though. I generally think Reading certainly won't be scared of what they're facing against Middlesbrough. The way that they're playing at the moment, they'll go out there and really try and take the game to Borough, just as they have done plenty of teams in recent weeks, and they'll try and win the game. And I think we're going to see we should see a crack in 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's interesting that this game comes almost 10 years today since we had another sort of top two clash back then against Sheffield United, and that really sort of put a marker down for the fantastic season that's to come. I really hope that history repeats itself. But what sort of team is Steve Clarke looking like having, or sort of who's going to be available from his squad? Obviously, we mentioned a couple of absentees earlier in talking about the Burnley game. How are the likes of Stephen Quinn, Vidra and Anton Ferdinand shaping up going into this game?
Well, out of those three, the only one who's got a slight chance is Matej Vidra, but judging by what Clarke had to say yesterday, although I do take everything Clarke says about injuries with a pinch of salt, because so many times he's ruled a player out on a Thursday and
he's
starting on the Saturday. He certainly plays the game when it comes to injuries. But he says the only one who's got a slight chance is Vidra, but even that would be a risk. So if you take what he's saying truthfully, and he's not playing the game and trying to trick Mr. Karanka, then none of them are going to be involved, and it's going to be the same squad as we saw at Burnley with Orlando Sarr. So, yeah, a bit of a blow. Obviously, Quinn and Vidra, he said after the international break, should be fine. It's just the Anton one's a bit of a worry, isn't it, given what happened last season? Each week that goes by without seeing him come back, you begin to worry. Yeah. And start thinking back to what happened last year.
But especially because he said, oh, well, he could have played against Derby, but we just didn't want to risk him. So how has he gone from basically being able to play a football game to not being in a squad for 3 weeks? That starts ringing alarm bells.
I know. He said it's a normal footballer's injury, a grade one thigh problem, but he said that they're all three of them are working well and getting back towards fitness. But we kind of heard it a lot of times last season, didn't we, with Anton, and we never saw him. But touch wood, it's not. I really hope it's not, because he started the season so well and was proven to be such an important player for Reading. And so I hope that he's fine. And so after the international break, we're going to see him back in action.
Well, to be honest, I think he's lost his place in the side. I don't think you can drop Michael Hector. You certainly can't drop Paul McShane. He's the captain. He's done brilliantly this season. And I think he's got to wait for Hector, basically, to pick up an injury of his own or have a real bad run of form, because he's done nothing wrong, and it'll be very harsh to drop him.
Yeah, no, I go along with that. And again, that's a great quality of having such a good squad now. And even when Hector didn't play against Everton, Jake Cooper was outstanding. So, it's just the quality of squad. You've got four very good centre-backs there vying for positions, which can only be a good thing for Clarke.
Yeah, what a horrible problem to have for a manager.
Yeah.
I feel really sorry for him. Right then, let's move on to the Prediction League. Now, you've had a pretty decent couple of weeks. You're up to second in the Prediction League on 8 points.
I was winning last week.
You were, and then that little rascal Johnny Williams got a couple of good ones.
Did he get 2-1 last week then?
He did, yeah, he got 2-1 at Burnley. So, them's the breaks. Johnny Leeds on 9, you're on 8. I am on 6, and Westy still props at the bottom. He's got a lot of work to do now. He's on 1 point. There's a long way to go. There is a long way to go. So how do you see this one going? I've predicted a 1-1. Westy's gone for a 3-1, and Johnny's out of the country at the moment, so he's not got his prediction in, but I'm sure I'll get that before kickoff.
I reckon I'm going to go for a Reading win. I quite fancy 3-1 actually, but I'm not going to do that if
it's only Westy.
Yeah, I will go. No, I'll go with 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1. Okay, that's fine. Okay, I'll get Johnny's prediction in, and I'll tweet it out just so there's no shenanigans going on. Not that I'd ever give him extra points. Doesn't deserve those. Right, just before we go then, I couldn't leave this podcast without bringing up probably the biggest Reading news story across the national media this week. No, not Nick Blackman being nominated for a PFA award, not our run up to third in the table. It is, of course, the new Reading song, Charles. It has gone viral in a big way. I think just about every sport media outlet has picked up on this at some point in this week. And the feedback from the wider footballing base has ranged from, dear Lord, that's cringy, to, what a joke of a club. Although there have been a few fans of the song, but are you surprised it went as viral as it did?
No, I can't say I'm not exactly surprised. I think when we all saw it for the first time, it's like, wow, that's this is going to give some people some ammunition. And they've certainly fired some shots this week. Like you said, it's kind of disappointing. The Reds have had such a good season and doing so many good things. Yet the first thing national media really take notice of is this song. I wrote an opinion piece on this last night that went up on the site. I honestly couldn't care less about it.
And I'm with you.
It's you look at it and think, oh God, but I mean, really, is it that big a deal? Is it worth losing sleep over? Not in a million years for me. Who honestly cares what some random Leeds or QPR or Swindon fans say on Twitter and whack out the classic tin pot plastic words that rival banter in the annoying stakes for me. I just could not care less. All I care about is what the Tigers have been doing off the pitch, and they've been doing great things, and they've given Steve Clarke the tools to build this squad, and Reading are third in the league and are genuinely going for promotion. So this will pass. You know, the websites, the betting accounts, everyone like that, they'll move on and get their grip sort of mitts on at something else fairly quickly, and no one will remember this or care about it. So it's just a flash in the pan that, honestly, just focus on football. Who cares about the song?
I've mentioned his name a couple of times, but I will throw Johnny under the bus one more time on this show. He loves it. It's really grown on.
But the thing is, I mean, I haven't stopped singing it for the last 4
days. No, it's been in my head as well.
It's just, and it just suddenly, if I find myself singing it on desk and I'm like, oh God, it's so catchy. But I'm not in Johnny's. I'm not going to follow Johnny on that one. I don't love it at all. But it is catchy. I'll give Sassima that. But like I said, there's far bigger things in the world to worry about than what random 5-year-old QPR fans think about it and what they say on Twitter.
I'm amazed that 5-year-old QPR fans are on Twitter. Yeah. But credit to them. It's up there in the Eiffel 65 stakes of. So bad it's catchy. But we'll leave it there. Let's not make this conversation any more blue.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. And on that very good note, it is time to wrap up. Charles, obviously the international break coming up over the next couple of weeks, but what can we expect in Get Reading?
Yeah, it is the international break, but it's quite a lot of Reading interest in that international break. I mean, we could have two sort of historic achievements for some Reading players. Obviously, you've got Royston Carney and Gunter, who will, no matter what they say, will seal a spot in France during the next couple of weeks, because there's absolutely no chance that they're going to not get a point off Andorra.
You're going to get a horde of angry Welshmen coming after you.
Rubbish. Anyone who sits on the fence and says, oh, it's not over yet, is talking utter rubbish, I'm afraid. Wales are there. It's done. There's no chance. I could play and Wales could still qualify against Andorra. And hopefully Oliver Norwood, obviously, is a bit tougher for Northern Ireland. They've still got a bit of work to do, but hopefully they'll get the job done. So we'll be following all that. So there's plenty of Reading interest during the international break.
Yeah, well, we'll look out for that. As I said, you can go over to getreading.co.uk to follow that, and you can follow Charles at Charles_Watts on Twitter. As for the Tile SM, plenty of fan opinion and analysis. As usual, you can read that Humble Pie article on Nick Blackman, all my power rankings. I've also got a good article from a guest writer on the negativity around football grounds and how that spreads. So lots of different things you can read. And of course, if you want to get involved in the website, drop us an email. It's thetilelessend@gmail.com. We welcome all writers. It's a site for the fans, by the fans. So please get in touch. Meanwhile, Charles, thanks very much for joining me. Hopefully I'll get in touch with you in a couple of weeks' time for our next game. I can't even remember who that is off the top of my head.
Is it Fulham?
It could well be. Is it?
There's a Fulham coming up. I haven't actually looked that far ahead. But there is a random 1:30 kickoff time coming up.
Yeah, it is. It's very rare for us to not be talking about Saturday, Tuesday games. It's Charlton at home.
Oh, is it?
Charlton at home on the 17th. Then Rotherham away in the midweek, and then Fulham away. Yeah.
Rotherham away on Tuesday. You really didn't have to remind me about that.
Sure, you can't wait. It's one of the highlights of the season. Yeah. And I got through the entire podcast without mentioning Olympiakos. Oh, well, I nearly got through the entire show without mentioning
uncalled for.
Sorry. Anyway, Eiffel 65 and Olympiakos, that's more than enough random references for me for this show. Thanks, Charles, for joining me. Have a cracking weekend, mate. And here's hoping we're talking about 3 more points in a couple of Fridays' time.
Indeed, yeah. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Will do. Take care.
Cheers,
bye-bye.
Mate. Bye-bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@thetarlhurstend
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.